So today's doubly great because it's Mother's Day and baptism today. And so I think I know of about five adults and probably five or six kids that are getting baptized here second service. And so awesome day. Any day that we get to baptize is an awesome day. And so, in fact, it ties in with the message today. We're continuing our series in Encounters with Jesus. And we're going to talk about John the Baptist today. I thought it was fitting to talk about the baptism of Jesus on the day that we baptize today because, and it's interesting, that the tagline for this series is, an encounter with Jesus can change your life. And last week we looked at the stories of Zacchaeus and the rich young man, and we saw that they both had an encounter with Jesus, but there was a different result. Just because you have an encounter with Jesus doesn't mean your life's going to change. It's your response to your encounter with Jesus that makes the difference. And so Zacchaeus responded to Jesus and his invitation, and we see that Zacchaeus went from a thief to a generous giver. His heart was changed in that moment. The rich young man had an encounter with Jesus, and he walked away sad because he wasn't willing to give his heart completely to God. Money controlled his heart. And so today, as we talk about encounters with Jesus, we're going to look at John the Baptist. And talking about baptism, you know, baptism doesn't save you. There's some misconceptions out there that, you know, you have to be baptized to be saved. But that's not necessarily the case, because it's that encounter with Jesus that changes you. That is what saves you. It's when you confess the Lord Jesus as your Lord and you believe it in your heart God raised Jesus from the dead. The Bible says, then you'll be saved. And so baptism doesn't save you. It's basically your public proclamation of what God has done for you in your life. It's saying, I'm not ashamed of what Christ did in me, that I gave my life to Him, and so I'm going to be baptized. And we take that after the example of what Jesus did in the stories that we're going to read today. And so as we read in this, I want us to dive into the scripture and see how John's life changed because of his encounter with Jesus. Now, his was different than the ones that we talked about last week, because John was already engaged. He was the prophet sent before the Messiah to proclaim the coming of the Lord. And so he was doing his purpose. He was doing what he was made to do. But even though he was already, he was already doing what he was called to do, his encounter with Jesus changed him anyway. So let's dive in this one. This is mentioned in all four Gospels, the baptism of Jesus. And we're actually, if we have time, going to talk about a little bit out of each one. So let's go to Mark chapter 1, verse 1, as we look at this. Introduce you to the man, John. It says, in the beginning of the good news about Jesus the Messiah, the Son of God, as it was written in Isaiah the prophet, I will send my messenger ahead of you who will prepare your way. A voice of the one calling in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord, make straight the paths for him. And so John the Baptist appeared in the wilderness, preaching a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sin. The whole Judean countryside and all the people of Jerusalem went out to him, confessing their sins. They were baptized by him in the Jordan River. John wore clothing made of camel's hair and a leather belt around his waist, and he ate locust and wild honey. And this was his message: after me comes one more powerful than I, the straps of whom sandals that I am not worthy to stoop down and untie. I baptize with water, but he will baptize you with the Holy Spirit. And so here we're introduced to this man, John the Baptist. And he was the one that Isaiah was talking about, the one who would go before the Messiah and prepare the way for him. Now, the first thing that I notice in here, that this is the first time baptism is mentioned in the Bible. As we see John the Baptist come on the scene, this is the first baptisms that we see. And it's funny that the people didn't think it was weird that John was baptizing. And so apparently there was something in that culture that was already going, that already meant something to them. Because, you know, John was kind of like the crazy guy out in the wilderness, you know, preaching repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. And people were drawn to that. And they were going out in droves and being baptized and confessing their sins. And he was preparing the way for the Messiah to show up. And so, you know, the people didn't seem to question the baptism part. Yet this is the first time that we actually see it mentioned in the Bible. And so I had to study into that because that's what I do. I have to know why things are as they are. And so I studied into this and I found out that baptism is a symbol of what the high priest did back before he went into the presence of God. Now, to go back into the Old Testament, into the tabernacle, the high priest was the only one that could go into the presence of God. It was, you know, out in the wilderness where Moses, you know, built the tabernacle. You know, it had the different altars and the different things, and the presence of God lived in the most holy place. This is where the Ark of the Covenant and the mercy seat was at, and that's where the presence of God resided. And there's only one man that could go into the presence of God. And he could only do it one time a year on the Day of Atonement. He had to go this ritual cleaning and spices and putting places before he could enter in the presence of God. And what we see as we look into to the ceremonial washing is that baptism comes out of that. And I want to read a little bit of this in Leviticus. You know it's going to be a good sermon when you go to Leviticus, right? I mean, there's some great preaching here. And so Leviticus chapter 16, this is where we see the symbolism at. It says, this is how Aaron, who was the high priest, is to enter in the most holy place. He must first bring a young bull for a sin offering and a ram for a burnt offering. Then he must put on the sacred linen tunic, the linen undergarments next to his body, and tie the linen sash around him and put on a linen turban. And these were the sacred garments. So he must bathe himself with water before he puts them on. So before he could even get dressed in the sacred garments, he had to bathe himself. He had to immerse himself in water and to cleanse himself. And so what he was doing was a symbolic thing of cleansing. Like he would wash his body of all dirt before he could go into the presence of God. And so this would later reflect what happens to us when we accept Jesus into our life, that the blood of Jesus cleanses us from our sin. And it's not just a one-time thing, an every-time thing, that any time that he wanted to go in the presence of God, he had to bathe. But now, through the blood of Jesus, we have free access into the Father. Because of the blood of Jesus, we have free access into the Father. All of us can go. It's not reserved just for the priest anymore. And it's not reserved for one day anymore. But any time that you need to be in the presence of God, you go by the blood of Jesus now. It's that cleansing on the inside of us that makes that available to us. And that's what Aaron was doing, as it was a precursor to what Christ would do for us. And so baptism is what we do that reflects what happened to us on the inside. See, when we got saved, we were cleansed by the blood of Jesus. That we were forgiven, and all of that stuff, all of that junk fell off of us because of the blood of Jesus. And so when we get baptized now, we go into the water and we immerse. And so we baptize them. It's the old man dying. Just as Jesus was laid in the grave and he died, we lay ourselves down in the grave and saying, we die to self and we raise up a new man. In 2 Corinthians 5:17, it says, anyone who is in Christ, the old man is dead and the new has come. And that's what we do during baptism, is we're symbolically laying that old man down, saying, I'm no longer bound by my sin. I'm no longer bound by my past. But because of the blood of Jesus in my life, I'm a brand new person. I'm risen alive in Him. And now, see, oh, man, what God did for us was so good. It was so good. See, when we got saved, He broke the power of sin in your life. He broke the power of those addictions in your life. He broke the power of that past in your life. You are a brand new person. You're a brand new creation. Now, I wish all that stuff would have fallen off of us the minute we got saved. But we're still working through those things. And as we grow in God's Word and we grow and mature in Christ, that He begins to work these things out in our lives, and that cleansing blood of Jesus and the power of the Holy Spirit that's on the inside of us, it shows forth what Christ did in our life. And so when we baptize, we're laying the old man down symbolically and raising up a brand new person. So let's look at this. Let's look at John's encounter with Jesus, because like I said a while ago, John was already doing his purpose. His heart was already towards God. And so what changed in John's life that made this so significant? So let's go to Matthew chapter 3, and let's look at this encounter that John had with Jesus. Matthew 3:13, it says, "Then Jesus came from Galilee to the Jordan to be baptized by John. John tried to deter him, saying, 'I need to be baptized by you. And do you come to me?' Jesus replied, 'Let it be so now, for it is proper for us to do this to fulfill all righteousness.' Then John consented." Could you imagine that? You're sitting there baptizing, and all of a sudden the Messiah comes up, and he's like, "I need to be baptized too." And you're like, "Jesus, what are you talking about? You're Jesus. I mean, you're perfect. You're the Messiah. Why would I baptize you? I need you to baptize me." But it had to be done this way. And so so John, he was trying to like, I don't know if I'm worthy of this. But he consented anyway. It's interesting, though, because before this time, there's no record of Jesus and John meeting. So how did John know that that was Jesus, the Messiah, coming? See, I believe, that's right, I believe that the Holy Spirit, see, I know that, you know, as someone who has given my life to Christ and I'm a Christian, there's times that I meet somebody that I'm like, this person's a Christian. How do I know that? It's because my spirit's connected with the Holy Spirit. Their spirit's connected with the Holy Spirit, and there's this thing that happens where you just kind of know. Y'all know what I'm talking about? There's times you meet someone and you're just like, oh, yeah, this person's a Christian. And that was kind of that thing that happened. But if you look in the Scripture, this isn't necessarily the first time that this happened. Because if you remember, Jesus' mother was Mary. Who was John the Baptist's mother? Elizabeth. They were cousins. They were pregnant at the same time. And there was a time when Mary went to go visit her cousin Elizabeth. And when Mary walked in, see, Elizabeth didn't know that Mary was pregnant. And when Mary walked in, the Bible says that the baby inside of Elizabeth jumped. Oh. See, John, in the womb, knew Jesus when he showed up before they were even born. There was that connection that was already there. And so it's funny that John recognized Jesus when he walked up, and he's like, "No, I need to be baptized by you." Let's read on. Verse 16, it says, "As soon as Jesus was baptized, he went up out of the water. And at that moment, the heavens were opened, and he saw the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of God, descending like a dove and alight on him. And there was a voice from heaven that said, 'This is my Son, whom I love, with whom I am well pleased.'" Could you imagine that moment? I mean, Jesus is there, and all of a sudden the heavens open. I mean, this wasn't like some quiet little scene that's happened. No, this was like a big announcement. The Holy Spirit comes down, and there's a voice from heaven. See, John the Baptist was one of the few people that got to experience all three of the Godhead at the same time. That he got to baptize Jesus, saw the Holy Spirit, and he heard the Father speak in that moment. Such an awesome moment. And so what changed in John's life in this moment? What was it that this encounter did for John? Let's go to John chapter 3 real quick. And it's interesting. I just got one simple point I want to talk to you about today, and it's at the end of this. John 3, 22. It says, "After this, Jesus and his disciples went out into the Judean countryside, where he spent some time with them and he baptized. Now John was also baptizing in this one place near this other place, because there was plenty of water there." I don't know where those places are. I don't know. There's plenty of water though. So this was before John was put in prison. "An argument developed between some of John's disciples and a certain Jew over the matter of ceremonial washing." That's connected with the baptism there. So they came to John and said, "Rabbi, that man who is with you on the other side of the Jordan, the one that you testified about, look, he is baptizing and everyone is going to him." They were worried because there's more people going to Jesus than they're going to John. And so they're like, "John, we're losing disciples. They're all going to Jesus. What are we going to do?" I love John's response to this. "To this, John replied, 'A person can receive only what is given them from heaven. You yourselves can testify that I said that I am not the Messiah, but I am sent ahead of him. The bride belongs to the bridegroom. The friend who attends with the bridegroom waits and listens for him and is full of joy when he hears the bridegroom's voice. That joy is mine, and it is now complete." Listen to this. "He must become greater, and I must become less. He must become greater, and I must become less. See, in that moment, he was saying that, hey, listen, guys, it's good that people are going to Jesus now because he's the Messiah, not me. He needs to become greater, and I need to become less. See, John knew that he wasn't the main event anymore. See, before then, everybody was coming out to see John. They're coming out to see the crazy guy who's dressed in camel hair and eats locusts and honey, and he's preaching this repentance, and you need to be baptized because the Messiah is coming. And so he did his part. Says, now that the Messiah is on the scene, I need to step back. I need to let Jesus come and do what he came to do. And see, it's the same thing in our lives. He allowed Jesus to become the main event. See, in our lives, we need to allow Jesus to become the main event. It's no longer about you. It's about Jesus. And see, this is what John realized. This is the encounter that John had. He's like, okay, the Messiah is here. I need to step back. See, when you gave your life to Christ, you said, be my Lord, be my Savior. What you were saying is, Jesus, I want you to take control of my life. Up to this point, I've really messed this thing up. I've done it wrong. I've sinned, and things aren't going right. I want you to take control of my life. I want your will to be done in my life. Whatever it is you want me to do, that's what I'm doing. Whatever it is you want me to say, that's what I'll say. Wherever it is you want me to go, I'll go. You are now in charge. He must become greater, and I must become less. See, I need to learn to die to self. I need to learn to put my selfishness down and the things that I want to do. All of those things, I need to put those down now and say, God, your will be done in my life. And that's what John's encounter teaches us, that he must increase and I must decrease. And so as we baptize today, we're about to go into our baptismal service. And that's our prayer, is that as people are being baptized, they're saying, my life is about Jesus now and no longer about me. I am going to live for him. And so as the worship team comes out, I think they're about ready. If you're being baptized today, you guys are dismissed to go get changed. Y'all can go right through these doors and get set up where you're going. We've got some kids going to come in, and they're going to be baptized as well. Here's something else that I want us to do. I want to give an open invitation for anybody who wants to be baptized. You might not have planned today to be your day. But see, I believe that God has been tugging on some strings saying, it's time. It's time now. See, you don't get up here to get saved. You get up here because you are saved. And you're saying, hey, look, one of the things that Pastor asks, he says, have you accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior? Yes. Do you commit in front of this crowd that you're going to live the rest of your life for him? See, that's what baptism's about. Committing before a group of people saying, I'm in this for good. This is what I'm doing. So if you came here today and you didn't plan to be baptized, but God's telling you today's your day, hey, I've got some shorts and t-shirt and a towel back here for you. If God's telling you to do that, I want you to get up and go change. Because it's ready. It is time. Today is your day. Thank you. Today is your day. See, I never saw where Jesus put somebody through a four-week class before they could get baptized. He said, hey, let's do it. Let's go now. And so as we stand in worship today, we're going to sing one more song as they're getting ready back there. Hey, you still have a chance, man. Get back there. We don't want you to miss out, because this can be that encounter with Jesus that changes your life, okay? And so as we worship here today, let's put our heart out to him. Let's let him increase and us decrease, and let's get our hearts ready for baptism today.